as you can tell, Tim is not here. They had a death in their family, so he left Friday and drove to Las Vegas, got there Saturday. I'm not sure when he'll be back. So he's packing his bag Friday, and he said, Kristen, you have Sunday. Like, he's getting a little too comfortable with just throwing me up here. So then he leaves, and then he calls me about an hour later and says, oh, yeah, we have that special offering. Can you do that, too? Sure. So, and then he calls me and says, oh, yeah, I need you to pick up the tire for the mower. The mower's been broken for a couple weeks, and so he's like, go pick up that tire. Isaiah can mow or whatever. So Saturday morning, I go pick it up. I put the tire on myself. I was pretty proud of myself. And then I went ahead and mowed because I thought I'd help Isaiah. So he did all the weed eating, I mowed, and the tire is still on the mower. So success. So anyway, I'm going to start with some jokes. So, and then you'll kind of get the what I'm going to preach on. So a man goes to the doctor concerned about his wife's hearing. The doctor says, stand behind her and say something and tell me how close you are when she hears you. The man goes home, sees his wife in the kitchen cutting carrots on the countertop about 15 feet away from her. He says, honey, what's for dinner? Nothing. He gets halfway to her and repeats the same question. Nothing. Very concerned, he goes right behind her and asks, what's for dinner? She turns around and says, for the third time, beef stew. The graveside service had just ended when there was a frightening clap of thunder followed by a tremendous bolt of lightning accompanied by even louder thunder. The old man looked at the pastor and said calmly, well, she's there. The wife said, our neighbor always kisses his wife when he leaves for work. Why don't you do that? Her husband replied, how can I? I don't even know her. I once gave my husband the silent treatment for an entire week, at the end of which he declared, hey, we're getting along pretty great lately. And then the last one, a woman shoots her husband for stepping on the clean floor. A police officer jumps into a squad car and calls the station. I have an interesting case here, he says. A woman shot her husband for stepping on the floor that she just mopped. Have you arrested her? Asked the sergeant. No, not yet. The floor's still wet. So if you can tell, I'm going to be talking about marriage. What God says about marriage, how we can as believers have a successful and lasting marriage, and what does God's word tell us? As many of you know, I travel a lot for my job, and so lately, podcasts that I've been listening to are marriage, fierce marriage, intentional marriage, just things that 24 years into my marriage, there's a lot of things I haven't done yet, and I have to start, got to start somewhere. And so one thing that's consistent in the podcasts and stuff that I've heard is marriages are under attack right now, and so are our families. And so a few like quick stats, facts about divorce. There are 86 divorces every hour. As many as 41% of first marriages will end in divorce. And then the average lifespan of a first marriage before divorce is 8 years. So, I mean, 8 years into my marriage, I'm still learning. And so I think that that's one area that, besides growing my relationship with Christ, is my relationship with my husband. I'll be the first to say I haven't done it right every time. We had kids, and my kids were first. I always put my kids above him. And I'm learning that it's God, spouse, children. My children are grown now, and so it's a little easier because it's just Tim and I most days at home. And so, but I do know that I'm stubborn enough that I'm going to do what it takes to make my relationship work with my husband. And I know a lot of times when you get married, people are like, well, I hope this is it. Divorce isn't an option in our marriage. I will tell you that since Tim has been head pastor here, we've probably had more attacks on our marriage than we have the first 20-some years prior. And so it's hard, but it's also one of those things that you just keep fighting. You just keep fighting for that marriage. And so Ephesians 5:21-33. And of course, this is one that most people know. And further, submit to one another for the reverence for Christ, out of reverence for Christ. For wives, this means submit your husbands as to the Lord. For a husband is the head of his wife, as Christ is the head of the church. He is the savior of his body, the church. As the church submits to Christ, so you wives should submit to your husbands in everything. For husbands, this means love your wives, just as Christ loved the church. He gave up his life for her to make her holy and clean, washed by the cleansing of God's word. He did this to present her to himself as a glorious church without a spot or wrinkle or any other blemish. Instead, she will be holy and without fault. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as they love their own bodies. For a man who loves his wife actually shows love for himself. No one hates his own body, but feeds and cares for it just as Christ cares for the church. And we are members of his body. As the scripture says, a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united into one. This is a great mystery, but it is an illustration of the way church and the Christ are one. So again, I say each man must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. So this scripture is probably the one scripture that husbands can quote, wives submit, and it's probably the one scripture that wives are like, ooh, let's pass this one up real quick, you know? And so what does it mean to submit? It means to yield to governance or authority. Submitting to your husband is about a relationship of love and reverence between spouses, not about the idea who is not about who has authority in marriages. This verse is based on the idea that God has given the husband a God-appointed leadership role over his wife, and submission is a way to honor and respect him. And most husbands, one thing that they really want from their wives is honor and respect. And so in submitting to your husband, other ways that you can submit to your husband are respecting your husband's point of view, sharing your opinion humbly, not invalidating him, especially in front of others, and then completing what he is lacking in. And so most couples are pretty good at, one person's really good at one thing and one person's really good at another thing. And I'm convinced God makes you opposites, so that happens. And so there's a lot of things that Tim and I do that are completely opposite. I know it drives him crazy and it drives me crazy some days, but we roll with it. So, and then in the passage of scripture for the husbands should love their wives as their own body. It emphasizes the selflessness and mutual respect of nurturing your marriage. It compares the marriage relationship to Christ and the church and suggests that husbands should love their wives with the same devotion and concern they have for themselves. So a husband can show their love to their wives by being selfless, putting your wife's needs in front of your own, providing for their wives, being warm and understanding. I know that me specifically, I'm very good at wearing my emotions on my sleeves, and you can get the silent treatment from me pretty good, because I feel like sometimes it's easier for me not to say anything than to say what I really want to say, because it's hard to take back those words once you've said them. And so I'm like that lady. I could go a week without saying anything, and probably was the best week of Tim's life. So, but in that, God created us so different that it's just to be compatible with your spouse and other things. So I don't know if you've seen like the five love languages that they list. And Tasai and I were talking about this last night about what I was as my love language and what hers were, and then what I thought Tim's would be, and then what she thought Carson's would be. And we laughed because Tasai's and I were the same, and we think Tim and Carson's are the same. And so The five love languages are the words of affirmation, which those are the ones where your spouse needs to hear, I love you, or compliment you, or, you know, just verbal encouragement, social media, text, whatever. Quality time, where you want to feel just be with your spouse. Like, and quality time with your spouse isn't on your phones. It's actually communicating and active listening, eye contact, all of that stuff. Receiving gifts, pretty straightforward. Some people really love gifts. Evidently, I'm really hard to shop for, so my kids will all say, yep. Acts of service. This is the one that I would say I am. You value when your partner goes out of their way to make your life easier, bringing soup when you're sick, cleaning your house when you haven't asked them to help you. And then the last one's physical touch. And again, pretty self-explanatory. And then I'm going to go to Mark 10, 1 through 9. I'm not going to read it all, but the end of it is basically saying, what God has joined together, let no man separate. And so before all of this, it's talking about, you know, the Pharisees are asking Jesus when it's okay to get divorced and that kind of stuff. And he's confronted by the Pharisees, and he's clarifying God's views on marriage and divorce. And he was letting people know, like, the corruption of people and what that they corrupted God's view of marriage. And God's definition of marriage is one man and one woman become united by the covenant made before God. And Jesus's point is that God has joined a married couple together, and the union is meant to be for life. He taught that divorce is not God's plan, and that if a man can't handle a lifelong commitment, then he shouldn't get married. Now, in no way, shape, or form, if you've been divorced or aren't married, this isn't to judge or condemn. Sometimes those things happen. I have a friend who every once in a while has those emotions come up, and did I try hard enough? Did I do what I should have? And I, in any way, shape, or form, don't think that God wants you in a relationship that you're verbally, mentally abused and unhappy. Like, marriage is supposed to be a good thing, and that's what God intended for us, is to have a marriage where we trust and we can communicate and talk. And so a couple that is put together can do big things for God's kingdom. And so I remember years ago, and I know you guys have heard Tim's story about when we were talking one of the first times, and I was doing the talking, let's be honest. And God told him that I was going to be his wife. And I am so thankful he did not tell me that, because I probably would have ran the other way, because at that point in time, I was running away from the things of God. And so if he would have told me, you're going to be my wife, I'd have been like, not today or not ever, and I would have gone. But we had a guest speaker here who was, she was powerful, and she had called us out and said that God put us together for a reason, and as a couple, we were going to reach millions of people. At that time, we had all four of our kids. We were involved in church, but we weren't involved in church. We were cleaning. We were coming to church, me more so than Tim, because Tim was still working that job where he slept in on Sunday mornings. And so it's just fun to see the different steps that God's taken to get us where we're at. Did I ever think this is where I would be, or Tim? Absolutely not. And but it also goes to show you when you're a powerful couple for God, how many things he throws at you to try to stop you and sidetrack you and get you going in the complete different direction than what you wanted to do. And so it's been fun. So, and then 1 Peter 3:1-7. In the same way, you wives must accept the authority of your husbands. Then, even if some refuse to obey the good news, your godly lives will speak to them without any words. They will be won over by observing your pure and reverent lives. Don't be concerned about the outward beauty of fancy hairstyles, expensive clothing, or beautiful clothes. You should clothe yourselves instead with the beauty that comes from within, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is so precious to God. This is how the holy women of old made themselves beautiful. They trusted God and accepted the authority of their husbands. For instance, Sarah obeyed her husband Abraham and called him her master. You are her daughters when you do what is right without fear of what your husbands might do. In the same way, you husbands must give honor to your wives. Treat your wife with understanding as you live together. She may be weaker than you are, but she is your equal partner in God's gift of new life. Treat her as you should be, so your prayers will not be hindered. I thought that was very interesting about the end of that, to treat her as she should be, so your prayers aren't hindered. Just kind of goes to show how powerful it is when you're in covenant and treating each other the way you're supposed to. Like I said, you can find it multiple times that wives are supposed to submit to their husbands, and I didn't like it. That was one thing that I was like. But then when you go in and look at what does submit mean and all the different ways it actually is, and it's like, okay, yeah, that's what I should be doing. And then Proverbs 18:22, the man who finds a wife finds a treasure and he receives favor from the Lord. And I feel like when you receive favor, God is pleased by the choice of marriage, and a God-honoring spouse is a blessing. It also implies that men and women who love the Lord choose each other as their spouse, and they will have a blessed marriage and God's approval. And so that's pretty cool. So a few things that I feel like we can do to make our marriages stronger. Date your spouse. At the beginning, when you're actively pursuing each other, you're going on dates, you're actually giving each other your undivided attention and not on your phones, not on social media, that kind of stuff. Spend quality time with each other, because that's one thing that if you are, your love language is quality time, like give your spouse that time. Communicate, but not only communicate, listen. So I don't know if I'm the only wife that has a husband that I can tell him something, and 10 minutes later, he'll ask me what I just said. I'm like, we literally just talked about that. Oh, we did? So communicate, but also listen. It's just one of those things, like, I know I have so many words I feel like I have to say a day. There's days I come home and that's all I've done is talk to people. And I come home and, of course, the day that I don't want to talk is the day that Tim's ready to talk. And so it's just one of those days where I just have to listen. And serve each other. For the first many, many marriages, years of our marriage, I never saw Tim's feet. I know that sounds really weird, but he would unlock the door and run up the steps, or he always had socks on. And so a couple years ago when he was in the hospital with COVID, he had called me to tell me this nurse was giving him the best foot massages and wanted me to start doing that. And I'm like, what? Like, that is so weird. And so for weeks, that's all I did. And honestly, his oxygen would be at like 75 or 80. And then I'd start rubbing his feet and it'd go up to 100. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. Like, I think he was like faking or not breathing, so it did that. But just serve each other. I have a sister, and this is probably TMI, but she cuts her husband's toenails. I'm like, there is no way I could do that. If I had to, I would, or I'd call Babe and have her come over and do it. So, but in serving each other, I was watching a pastor, and he goes around and does a whole bunch of marriage seminars, and he surveyed all of the women that were at the seminar, and the question was, what makes you most attracted to your husband? And 80% said, when he's doing chores at the house or helping me around the house. 80% of women, that acts of service is huge for them. And so I get it. Like, that's, again, that's one thing I really like. Being affectionate towards your spouse and in front of your kids. Tosiah was probably the one, anytime Tim would kiss me, she'd be like, oh, gross. And he would always say, how do you think you got here? And so it's one of those things where I know it's awkward, but if we're not showing our kids what marriage is, what affection is, all of that stuff, where are they going to see it? From the world, and the world has perverted it so much that and talk to your kids about sex. Tim had the talk with our boys when they were like third grade, and I was devastated. I'm like, why so soon? He said, because they're going to find out, so let's tell them the right thing. And so they're going to hear about it, so let's tell them about it and tell them all of the reasons why it's good when you're married. And then pray together and for each other. Again, pretty self-explanatory. I like the on my Bible app right now. I'm doing a 30-day prayer challenge for your husband. And it's really funny, like the days that I'm really annoyed with something he did, it's like perfect for that day. I know how it worked, but it's still like, okay, God, I got it. Like, I'm praying for just peace or, it's good. But anyway, and there's a whole bunch of different apps or different lessons on there that you can do with your spouse. And we like to do that to where we both do it. And at the end of it, you get to put what you've learned from it and you talk about it. So that's another, we haven't done that for a while. We probably need to get back to that. But it's really good because it you interpret things so different. What I see in the passages of Scripture and what Tim sees in the passages of Scripture are completely different. So praying together and then praying with your children. If we go over to people's houses, Isaiah has to pray if we're at Isaiah's house. Ethan has to pray type thing. So that's got his kids going too with prayer. And so it's a good thing. And then go to church. You guys are our churchgoers. You get it. As you know, growing up, we were in church on Sundays and Wednesdays. It wasn't an option. And I'm always amazed that people think it's too much for your children to go to church 2.5 hours out of the week, but we're sending them to school 5 days a week, 8 hours a day. And so I get schedules are busy. I had kids that were in every sport possible, but guess what? It was Wednesday night and they were here. And I know the summer, we take off during the summer to give our teachers a break, but we do have a couple activities. And so when fall starts up, let's get our kids here on Wednesday nights and let's get a foundation going for them. So when they leave, they know how to pray and they know what it's like to be married, because they're going to learn what it is, what you need for relationships and that kind of stuff. Honestly, that's all I got. So let's pray and then we'll be dismissed. So, dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word and we thank you for the daily blessings you bestow upon our lives. We thank you for all you've done in our lives and everything you're continuing to do in our lives. Thank you for making us a church full of fierce and indestructible marriages. We thank you that as we go about our daily lives this week, we remember to put you first in every area and to continue to honor and obey your word. We thank you for healing in anyone who may have sickness or disease in their body, and we call them healed and whole in every area. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, we invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.